If you open your Bibles, folks, again at that passage which we read together in Acts 17. Acts 17. It's good to have the Bible before us. It's good to have the Word of God. And I trust as we come to God's Word, you'll not hear the Word of man, but you'll hear the Word of the Lord speaking in your heart. I remember the night I got saved, we heard all sorts of voices, but when the Lord speaks, He speaks in a voice that we know. And it's good to know the Lord. It's good to be saved. It's lovely to be able to come to a church in this modern day and to be able to say that from the pulpit and know that everyone is in agreement. It's good to be saved. As there are many false teachings out there today. I'm not going on a tangent here, but we trust that the Lord would cleanse our land again and send us a breath of revival. Let's have a wee word of prayer just quickly before we come to the Word of God. Father, we thank Thee again for this church. We thank Thee for the message the church proclaims. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. What a privilege to be here this morning in His name. Lord, we're not worthy of the least of Thy mercies. And yet, Lord, here we are. And we have God's Word before us. We thank Thee for our Bible. And we pray now that they would undertake for us, that they would bless us, that they would bless the Word particularly. May it be a particular Word for particular people, even here this morning in Ballymoney. Lord, it matters not what man thinks. It matters not even to the sermon and how it's preached. But oh, for the message it contains. May it be a message to the heart of some in this gathering. We ask and pray in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen. As I've already said, that I'm retired now, I'm not at work, so I've got a wee bit more time to a certain degree. And as I was musing, as the word would be, the other week on a particular subject, and I was thinking about the men in the Bible. Men in the Bible and what they were like. And the men like Moses and Abraham and Daniel and Jeremiah. Ordinary men. Ordinary men, but great men for God. And so if you're an ordinary man in here this morning, you could become a great man or woman for the Lord. But the one thing that stood them out, and I was reading through Ezekiel and some of the minor prophets, and I was reading about the burden that these men had, that the trouble they got into because of the burden that the Lord gave them. What men they were. And yet, in one sense, some of them, we could have said, were oddments in their appearance and how they behaved themselves. And yet, God used these men for the furtherance of His kingdom. But the thing that I noticed above all, and that resonated with me, was that they were men of passion. Men of passion. Men with a burden. And you know, I think one of the things that characterizes the state of our nation, the state of the churches in this land, and I'm not saying them all, but a big percentage of them, they've lost their burden. They've no burden for the souls of men and women. Oh yes, they can go to college, and oh yes, they can go to university, and they can learn, and they can bring their learning and give it to the people, and to a certain degree there's some good in that. But oh, for men in our land again with a passion for the souls of men and women. We think of one comes to mind, W.P. Nicholson, what a man he was. And I don't know, but maybe slightly ignorant in certain things. But what a preacher. What a passion that man had for the souls of men and women. And so, the burden that the Lord gave me that morning as I read was the burden. The burden that I feel at times that I lack for the souls of men and women. And unfortunately, sometimes we only see that burden work itself spiritually in how we attend church and how we attend the prayer meeting and those things. And that's right. And that burden should inspire us to do these things. But still, we can do these things without having a burden. And as God gave me, I believe, this message this morning, is to try and inspire, try and see the lack of burden sometimes that I have. And I know it's there. And how to rekindle that burden. Paul, Paul's conversion. Paul's a saved man. Don't really need to know much else about him. He was a saved man, but he was a man of passion. A man with that burden for the souls of men and women. A great man. A great man for God. He mightn't have been, I don't know, the nicest man in the world, but he certainly had an aura about him. He certainly had a power within him, which obviously was the Spirit of God. Great man for God. A preacher. He probably wasn't intellectual, but he didn't get any acclaim for being an academic or an intellectual. But he certainly was a preacher, and he certainly had passion. And that made him a great man for God. Great man for God. Everybody wouldn't have agreed at that time. They tried to kill him. They tried to do all sorts of things to him. They threw him in prison. They'd done everything to him, and finally they did kill him. But he had that passion in his heart and his life for the souls of men and women. But he was just a man. He was no better than anyone in this room, in this church. He was just a man with a burden. He arrived at the great city of Athens, and in verse 16 the Holy Ghost tells us some things about him. And when he came to Athens and he looked upon the city, he seen a city that was given over to idolatry and filthiness and all the isms of the day. And he arrives at this and he looks and he sees what he saw. He's seen a city given over to idolatry. We have a nation given over to idolatry. We have a nation that has welcomed into its shores religions from all across the world. Religions that worship idols. It's not the politically correct thing to do to say that, but it's true. And to this land. And now we could be called a nation full of idols. That's what the margin of verse 16 says. Full of idols. A vast, beautiful city. Outward beauty. All the trappings of that. The buildings, the culture, the architecture. A city of the mind. A city of intellect, of art, of taste. A city of the world. Attractive to the eye, to the ear. If God were to be found in any city, surely here in Athens, this is where all the academics used to come. What do we find? What did Paul find? Idolatry. Sin. As it were, as one said, sin up to your knees, sin up to your neck. If you go to the history books and read about it, and at this particular time its fame had started to decline, but it was a city that should have been one of the wonders of the world in the sense of their intellect, and yet full of idolatry. Addicted to the worship of idols. We should rejoice this morning that we don't bow down to an image of stone or of gold. Although maybe some do. They were very religious philosophers, but yet they were fools. Fools in the spiritual sense that they knew not God, the true God. They knew not Christ, as it were. Athens, the centre of political learning and education and fine arts, as I've said, but enslaved to sin. We have students in our land today whose intellects far above mine, and yet they're steeped in the sins and the practices of this world. And we wonder why our country goes the way it's going. When we look around the debates that are going on today, and I'm not going political, but you know what I mean. Fine arts enslaved to sin. Given up to impiety. Drunkenness, filthiness, immorality all around us. The most intelligent people sit in the same darkness thinking themselves all right. But they're ignorant of the things of God and of Christ. They're lost. They're lost. A nation that's lost. Nothing worse to be lost than not to know it. Sitting in their sin, lost. Paul waited till Silas and Timothy came to him. But in the meantime, it says his spirit was stirred within him. How long, brother or sister, since your spirit was stirred within you because of the wickedness and the sin that's going on around us? Are we like Paul? Have we a burden? Have we a burden for the souls of men and women? I ask you today, how much have you prayed? How much do you come and pray? If you've got a burden, you'll never be away. If you've got a burden, you'll be the first one here to the prayer meeting to pray for the souls of men and women. And I'm not here to bash anybody for not coming to the prayer meeting, but you know what I mean again. Oh, for men, not just with sermons, but passion in their souls for Christ, weeping for the lost. How long since have we wept for the souls of men and women? I remember 30 plus years ago in Porto Bogey sitting, and probably men who are not here today, weeping for souls. Oh, oh, that Ulster would know again a breath of revival. Power, Holy Ghost power, a living word. What about you this morning, brother, sister? What about me? When we look into our heart and we enjoy the trappings of this life, this modern world, with all its wealth and all its gadgets, what about our heart? Where do we stand before the Lord? Have we got that compassion for sinners, a burden? Do you know today? Verse 16 says, his spirit was stirred within him. Paul, as I've said, was a soul winner. He had a heart, he had a passion for souls. Take two people to the same spot, stand them side by side, let them see the same things. And often the emotions will be totally different one to the other. The thoughts will often be poles apart. We're all different. We've all got degrees of emotions. But have we got a burden? Paul's heart was a heart of a true believer, a true Christian. And Paul had faults, but his heart was of a true believer, burdened for the souls of men and women. And I pray that every pulpit in Ulster that bears the name of Free Presbyterian has men who have a burden in their hearts for souls. Paul stood at Athens and felt, this is a feeling that God uses. It's not just feeling. And they have compassion for their eternal souls. Like Christ in Jerusalem. How often would they have gathered a hen gathers her brood, but ye would not. Christ stood and had a burden for the souls of men and women in Jerusalem. Christian, are we like Paul? Are we stirred over this town of Ballymoney? This lovely town of Ballymoney. If we drove up this morning, the weather was good. Lovely to come up here. We actually come through the town. There's people going to church. Everything looks well. Are we stirred over this place, this country? Paul was stirred with a holy compassion. Oh, I pray that God will give you that burden. And what I ask and say for you, I pray for myself. Paul was stirred with this holy compassion to see so many perishing souls without hope. Do we believe that? That men and women in this village, this town, this country, this nation of ours are lost? He was stirred with holy sorrow to see such talent, such intellect wasted by sin. He was stirred to see so many perishing souls without hope. He was stirred with holy indignation against sin and the devil. Are you? Am I? Oh, Paul had a hatred for sin. And rightly so should we. Against sin and the devil. How these men were blinded and being led at will by the devil. He was stirred with holy zeal for his master's glory. Not for no purpose. Not just because, but for Christ's glory. He saw Christ unknown, unrecognized, dark hearts. Look around us. Go into Belfast, our city, and see the hundreds, yea, thousands of souls lost. It's getting worse. The things that young people are believing and getting up to today would frighten us. But the biggest thing is, they're lost. They're giving their glory to idols of wood and stone. But the Athenians were, and that's what we're doing today, just to see them in a different way. Being given a glory which should only be given to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. These feelings which stirred Paul should be a characteristic of every man, woman, who is born of the Spirit of God. That boldness, not arrogance, that boldness to stand up for Christ. Do you know anything of them? Do you know anything of that burden to pray for the souls of men and women, your families, this town? Where there is true grace, there will always be tender concern for the souls of men and women. You know, sometimes, and we see so much false religion. I was reading it, it said, an unbalanced view of these things, an unbalanced view even of doctrine, can kill the burden for souls. Not a proper balance, but an imbalance. Can kill that burden for souls. Look what it says of Lot and Sodom. Here's another man in the midst of a city of, we used to say, unparalleled wickedness. We have it today. It says he vexed his soul day by day with their unlawful deeds. Every day Lot had a concern and I'm sure a tear for the souls of his village, town of Sodom. The Lord himself, what does it say of him? It says he wept for Jerusalem. He wept for Jerusalem. Not only did he go and talk to them, but he had a compassion for them. Look around, Christian, today. Is your heart stirred? Can you sit week after week after week after week and go through the same emotions and do very little about it? Is your heart stirred or is it cold and indifferent? You think of McShane. How often he's mentioned. He says he burned himself out. Died a young man. So much burden. And there are others. Other men who have given themselves and given their lives even for the cause of the gospel. Not to become great men. But to become men who had a burden and who preached Christ with that burden and that passion. Why did Christ come? He came to die. He came to be crucified. He came to give his life, a propitiation. That his blood would be that propitiation and appease the wrath of God upon us, upon me. The anger of God that was upon me because I'm a sinner. Christ's blood propitiated that, took it away. And now I have peace. Peace in my heart. He vexed his soul, it says of Lot. Is your heart stirred? What did he do? Well, what he didn't do, he didn't get on a radio program. And he wouldn't have had a radio, so he couldn't, but you know what I mean. And start talking about this, that and the other. He didn't do those sorts of things. He didn't get them all together in a big ecumenical gathering and tell them they were all right as long as they kept the law, and as long as they'd done this and done that and done the other thing, they'd be all right. No, he got them together and he preached to them and he told them if they didn't repent of their sin, they were going to a lost eternity. He told them of Christ. He told them of the one who the Bible calls the altogether lovely one. The one who's able to take the burdened sinner. The one who sees his need, the one who feels the weight of sin upon him, is able to take that sinner and make him a prince. A prince with God. Washed in the Saviour's blood. That's what Paul sought to do. That's why he fought the battles. That's why he pleaded for the burden. See men and women come to Christ. You all, I'm sure, and I don't know, but I'm sure many of you have those in your families who are not saved. I pray to God that you'd have a burden for them. Maybe you're looking at me and saying, you've no right to tell me that. Well, maybe you're right. But I pray to God that you have a burden for them. What did Paul do? He preached Christ, as I've said. It's the purpose of the church. It's the purpose of the denomination. There is no other purpose. Well, we love to think that we're this, that we're that, and the other. And you know, Paul preached Christ. And men and women were saved. Good to see a church like Ballymoney who send missionaries and go out and our brother the Reverend Park and the work that he does. That shows the burden. That shows the burden for souls. And that's the purpose of the church, to do that. Are we doing it? He didn't tell them every man shall be saved of his own way or his own church. You know, I worked in Bombardier for 40-something years. And it's unbelievable the amount of men that I worked with who thought that they could work their way to heaven, who knew nothing of Christ. In Ulster. In this Bible-soaked province, so many men who think, because they're being told it from pulpits, that if they keep the law, do this, do that, do the other thing, they'll be all right. And they're lost. Sincerity does not make you a Christian. They're told that one religion's as good as another. You hear it today. As long as you're earnest. Men say that today. That's amazing. That men think because of their earnestness that they'll be all right with God. No, tell them plainly. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the lost. It's nothing else. There's no other message. That's not a wishy-washy love that you'll all be all right in the end, that God wouldn't do that to you. It's not false peace. Everybody clamoring for peace and sacrifice and all the morals and the standards that we love and we get from our Bible. It's not a false peace that the ecumenicalists or the ecumenists would encourage us to come with them for. It's Christ alone. That's the gospel. Christ died for sinners. From this pulpit, from all our pulpits, where we go to our work, where we go to school, where we stay at home, wherever God places you today, have you got that burden for the men, the women that you work with? Have you got the burden for souls to see this church grow? Oh, not to make a great big church that we can make almost of an idol, but to see men and women fill these seats because they're saved. What did Paul preach? He preached Jesus and his resurrection. He preached his person. He preached the loveliness of Christ, the beauty of the Lord. He preached his divinity. He wasn't just another God. He was God. He was the Son of God. He is the Savior of men. He preached his incarnation. He preached yesterday he rose again from the dead. It doesn't matter what the leading theologians would say over in England. He rose from the dead for our justification. His mission to the world is love for the souls of men. Go tell it. Go tell it. Oh, you know, if you go out today in this modern world of ecumenism and Catholicism and all these things, and all these isms, they don't want to hear it. They will, as the Bible says, the day will come when they will put you in jail. When they will put you out of their company because of the truth of the gospel. Can God raise the dead? Yes. God can raise the dead. the subject of all our preaching, all our witnessing should be like Paul's. Christ. It's only Christ who can change the life of Ballymoney. It's only Christ who can change the life of our schools, of our education system, of our universities, of our workplace. It's only Christ can do that. Have you a burden to tell men and women of Christ? Subject of all our preaching. To the low, to the high, to the rich, to the poor, it is Christ alone. He told them they were ignorant. These great people. Imagine walking up the Stormont and walking into one of these great meetings and saying, "You're all ignorant." That's what Paul done. These great people. Paul had no fear. If God's truth be on our side, brother, sister, young person, we need not hold our peace. One man with Christ in his heart, the Bible in his hand, is stronger than all the apostates and all the papists and all the idolaters in the world. In verse 30, it tells us there, he told them to repent. People don't like, I don't like, to have to repent sometimes. Sometimes when you do something wrong, it's hard to repent. It's a smile, not one. It's hard to repent. But here's a true repentance. It's not a repentance for little things. It's a repentance of your soul's need, of your sin, of your rebellion against God. The rebellion that Adam, as it were, shoved in the face of God. I will not obey God. It's that rebellion in all our hearts that needs to be dealt with by the blood of Christ. It's not to turn over a new leaf. It's not to get baptized. It's not just to do good. There's none good. To repent from sin. Sinner, if you're in this morning, there's only one message for you, and it's repentance. It's turning from your sin and accepting Christ as your Savior to repent. I remember the night I got saved, and it was hard. It was hard, but I knew I had to repent and turn. It just didn't mean saying, "I'm sorry." It meant turning from it. Turning from the sin and living for God. These people in Athens are no different from you. All the family of Adam. All guilty. If you're unsaved, as I've said, you're no better than these people. It's the same message to you. For all have sinned. Each one of us. Lastly, he says there, God hath appointed a day. You know, as soon as they heard this, they mocked. The world doesn't like to think that Jesus Christ is coming back. I wonder why. Because their sins will be laid bare before the whole world. God has appointed a day, and as soon as they heard it, they mocked. But thank God some believed. Some believed. Thank God when the gospel is faithfully preached, some will believe. Souls will be saved. What do you see this morning, believer? What do you feel in your heart this morning? What will we do? Do you ask yourself? Pray that God will give us a burden for the souls of men and women. Not just a lifestyle. You know, sometimes young people make a profession and it's a lifestyle they see. They think it's the lifestyle and maybe the way they dress or maybe the way they do certain things. And they must think that that means you're a Christian. It doesn't mean you're a Christian. It means if you are a Christian, that's what you may do. And in all of our living, may Christ be our center over all. May we faithfully, brother, sister, this morning, may we faithfully proclaim Christ at every opportunity. It's easy for me to stand up here and say it. It's a different thing to do it. Keep on serving, brother, sister. Keep on working. Keep on telling. When you come to the service tonight, wouldn't it be good to bring somebody with you? There's a burden fulfilled. It's not easy to pray. Come to the prayer meeting. Come and pray. It's difficult, it's hard. There's nobody was quieter than me, you mightn't think it. But how lovely it is to be able to pray. Men will mock you. Don't think you'll get away with it. You'll be mocked and scorned. But there's a day coming. It says, verse 34, but some believed. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that great to have that confidence to know that we're going to get the victory in the end, brother, sister in Christ? May God take this message that He first of all placed in my heart. And He wounded me. I think that was quite possibly before Mr. Park asked me to come and do this. And that's probably why I'm here. I'm scared not to come. But you know what I mean. May God give us all a burden. May God give us that burden for souls. Thank God for the examples of so many of our men. These men who are out in the mission field. These preachers who go out and do the things that they do. And it's not the doing that saves. Never get that mixed up. It's because they're saved, they do it. That's what we need. And if you're in this morning and you're not saved, my earnest prayer is for you that you may come to know Christ, not just a fable, but a living, loving Saviour. Yea, as I've already said this morning, it was Solomon that said, yea, He, that is Christ, is altogether lovely. And the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. If we could sing just a couple of verses of a hymn in closing, please. Psalm number 91. Tell me the story of Jesus. We'll stand as we sing it after the key. I think we're time enough just to sing the three verses in chorus. Number 91. Thank you for everyone assembled here this morning. Bless each one, bless each family, bless the elderly and the young. May the Lord's presence be in every home. May men and women look to the Lord today. May men and women heed the message of the gospel. Come to know Christ. Remember the sick. Lord, we think of the Reverend McLeod. We think of Mrs. Gray. We think of so many in our congregations. Lord, we pray that Thy hand would be upon them and they would undertake for them. Now, Father, bless us. May the triune God of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each one, both now and forevermore. Amen.